Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. It is now time that we would hear the word of God preached unto us. And I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this night. And I'd ask that each one of us would listen closely to those words that he has for us and how they apply to our lives. So I'd now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother, Elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Duane. Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. I do want to thank those who sang that beautiful song tonight. That was very beautiful. I appreciate that. I never cease to marvel about the goodness of God and His favor towards His children and how he truly desires for each one of us to be a part of Him. Our day started out this morning with Sunday school, and there were some things discussed in Sunday school that flowed right into our brother Duane's sermon this morning. And as our brother went through his sermon this morning, I could understand the reason why God gave me some thoughts and brought me down a path to present to you some things that would dovetail to that which our brother spoke of this morning. It is a very personal thing that I want to talk to you about. Personal in the sense that it is something that becomes a part of us, a very integral part of us. I'd like to begin with using a verse of Scripture in Genesis in the 3rd chapter and the 22nd verse. We have here recorded, it's the events that was in the Garden of Eden. I just want to bring one verse of Scripture to you. And that 22nd verse says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." That was the Lord speaking after Adam and Eve had sinned, had gone against the word of God and partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where it says, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. It gives us a little glimpse of what happened to man in the very beginning within the creation. That God, because of sin, man had a conscience, was given the ability to think, to reason, and to decide. That was a very important element in the plan of God. It was not by mistake. In the book of Moroni, in the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, I believe it continues to carry that thought that we find in Genesis. There we find in Moroni, in the 7th chapter, at 14th verse, and I believe it was read this morning. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that they may know good and evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and the gift of Christ. And then it goes on to speak in the 15th verse, Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God, but whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. That understanding of good and evil, that God gave us the ability to reason. Now that personal thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the Holy Spirit. It's something that is not very well understood by the world. And why I brought those scriptures up to you in the book of Genesis, in the book of Moroni, we find that there are those two entities that are in the world, the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan, playing a part in our lives of our spirit, allowing us the freedom of choice. Who do we want to follow? It's the means, the Spirit of God is the means by which we can understand the things of God. Without it working in our life, we do not and will never understand the things of God. Conversely, as the spirit of Satan, we can find, we can see good examples that we can understand fully the destruction that it brings when we see individuals follow that spirit that leads to death. In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, we find this statement was made by the Apostle Peter. It was during the day of Pentecost. The second chapter of the book of Acts, I'd like to take us to verse 38 and 39. Here we find that the promised event, that the display of the Holy Ghost would be poured out upon the children of men, in that in the disciples were asked to tarry in Jerusalem. And we find that when that occurred, that there was men of faith throughout the world were gathered there for the day of Pentecost. There was Jews from Asia, all the way down from Libya, and from the Crete islands. They were all there because of the day of Pentecost, of the law of Moses. And when they were gathered there, the Lord poured out that promise upon the disciples, so that when that rushing wind came and the cloving tongues that were displayed rested upon the disciples, the believers in Christ who followed him, and they began to speak in different tongues. And those men that traveled all those many miles heard those tongues. It was their tongue. Each one could hear clearly and understand these fishermen, the disciples of Christ, are speaking their language by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was a demonstration of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And he pointed to them in Israel. This is the gift that came to the children of men. It's important to understand this gift. And I hope with a few scriptures tonight that I might emphasize it more plainly. In the book of John, in the 14th chapter, let's go there. Many times I have taken you to John in these chapters. I find there is much meat in these words of Christ. In the 14th chapter, in verse 16, and I'll read 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, this was something above and beyond that which I read in the book of Genesis and what was spoken of in Moroni. This was something that Christ was going to give to the children of men after his ascension into heaven. And that word comforter, that word comforter was parakletos in Greek. It was the intercessor, our counselor, an advocate. That's what he was going to give when he went to the Father. Where he says in the 17th verse, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwell with you and shall be in you. It's important to understand that this is something beyond what the world would receive. In verse 18, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That word comfortless is orphanos, or to be orphaned, without a father, without a parent. I find it hard to read those two verses of Scripture without being moved within my heart, within my mind, that this something so personal, this Holy Ghost, the Lord was willing to go and obtain that gift and send it to us, that it would be resident within us. Part of us. Something alive. Something that speaks to us in our mind, in our heart. Something like a parent. A guardian that is there for us. To teach us. To bring to our remembrance those things that God has taught for us to remember and to apply to our lives. Think of the most loving father, mother that you can in your mind. And that doesn't touch upon, that doesn't come near the love God has for you and I. And his desire for us. In John, in the 23rd verse, it says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him and with her. That's that parent, that's that guardian that is going to be there 24/7. Never alone, as we sing that one song. I think about the verse of Scripture. Keep your finger in that place there because we're going to be coming back there. But let's go to Romans in the 8th chapter. Maybe after now, maybe this will make some more meaning. This will mean more to you. The 8th chapter, verse 15 and 16. Here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Brothers and sisters, if you don't feel that in your heart and in your mind tonight, I pray to God that you get on your knees tonight and seek that God that wants to be your guardian, wants to be your companion, wants to help you in this life, that you might have life after this life, to lead you in the right way of righteousness. Those things our brother spoke of this morning, without that Spirit, if you claim to be one of Christ's children, without that Spirit, you are not going to be able to prevail. You will fail because of the persecution and the things that are going to come upon this world to those who say, I'm of Christ. A nurturer. Let's go back to John in the 14th chapter. Verses 25 and 26, it says, these things have I spoken unto you. This is the 14th chapter of John. Being yet present with you. He was speaking to his disciples at that time. He had walked with them for three and a half years. They had this constant companion with them. When they did wrong, he chastened them. When they did right, he comforted them. He gave them authority to do those things on earth and to teach in the name of his Father. He was there for them. But he knew now that he was going to be leaving. And they wanted him to, Christ wanted them to understand that even though he would leave, he would not leave them and abandon them and their faith that they put in him. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I want to ask a simple question. Each one of you, you answer it for yourself. How do you think the Spirit of God is going to bring anything to your mind if you haven't read or considered anything of Christ? How is he going to do it? Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The importance of understanding that statement is that it's incumbent upon us. What did he say? What was his promises? What did he teach? And how would that work in my life? What is it going to benefit me? That's when you start considering the ways of God and that Spirit starts bringing those things. When you come against something that you're not understanding in this world or you're confronted with something, that Spirit will bring a scripture to your mind or a thought, the thing, a word that you had read and said, this applies to that. This will help you in your life if you think on this. It brings that understanding to you. But if you haven't availed yourself to the Word of God, it's got a blank sheet to work with. And that's why it's important for us. When he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. When he says that, it is for us to understand what they are. What those commandments are. What are they, Lord? Help me to understand them. That nurturing parent. In John, the 16th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Again, that's where some of those things that our brother spoke about this morning, when he was trying to help us to understand from the days of the 60s. I'm old enough. I've got gray enough hair. I lived through the 60s. You know, on the History Channel, sometimes they will run a history. You could watch it. You know, what was going on in the 60s. I can't hardly watch it because it's so depressing. Because it was depressing then, it's even more depressing now when I see it. It was the day that America started to rebel against God in full force. It was the day that we read in the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter that the day of the Gentile was fulfilled. And that was a turning point for us. Us Gentiles. And Brother Duane very appropriately gave you a picture of that ripening fruit. In the book of Romans, again, in the 8th chapter, keep your finger into the book of John and then go to Romans in the 8th chapter. Verse 26 and 27. Again, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Infirmities are our weaknesses, our fleshly weaknesses. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Not only is Christ our advocate at the right hand of God, that Spirit that He's given us is our advocate because He speaks for us and prays for us. Why? Because He's within us. He's working within our heart. He knows us. We can't hide from that. We can't hide from it. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. I thank God for this plan. When I think about all the things that he endeavored to do, That beautiful thing that would be accomplished at the very beginning of that 14th chapter of the book of John, when he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That beautiful promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And why do you know it? Because you have allowed the Spirit of God to teach you the things of God. In John, in the 14th chapter, verse 10 and 11, here it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Then he says, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Those testimonies that we read within the Scripture. It kind of goes along with what we can find in the Book of Mormon when he's speaking of faith. Moroni. And then saying that if you could just allow yourself that concept to believe in God, just allow that little kernel of belief and allow it to grow. And then you add to it. And taste the fruit that bears from just that little experiment. And if it's good, And if it tastes good, then take it. Take it. Allow it to be good in you. And savor it. Let it to grow. And feed it. You know, I was all excited. I went up to Joel because during the time in which I was studying and putting together these things that the Lord was giving me, you know, He was bringing things to my mind and heart and helping me to understand things that I hadn't understood before in some of these writings. And I was thrilled. I was thrilled and I marveled how simple the way is, you know, but how difficult it is for this human flesh to allow it to happen. That small, still voice that speaks to our mind. You know, if there was a non-believer out here, they would think I'm kind of crazy. And he would think you might be crazy too if you would be the same kind of advocate. How God speaks to you. Have you ever experienced when you knelt in prayer and you started to pray to your Lord and all of a sudden His presence would be there and you can't speak? Because the Spirit is upon you in such a way that you don't feel worthy to even say a word. About the only thing you could say, my God, Abba Father, how great Thou art. How marvelous is Your ways. Those are the things that come to your heart and mind when that experience comes. And those of you that have experienced know, and you can shake your head and say, yes, I know, I felt it. That's the Spirit of God, the power of God, that beautiful guardian, that parent, working in your life. Or when you think to do something and you hear this voice saying, you know, do you really want to do that? You know, do you really want to do that? Is it really necessary? That's that warning voice. That spirit, that parent, just like I saw this morning when Chris took these two young boys out the door, you know, that was a warning voice. She was going to let them know exactly what they had done wrong, you know? That's the Spirit of God. It does the same thing in our life. It chastens us. And it says that if it's not chastening you, then who do you belong to? Because if it's not chastening you, you're not of God. You're not part of Him. That's what the Scriptures say. So I hope and pray that you felt that chastening voice that cut right down to your heart to help you to understand your status before Him. But with a loving hand, they're waiting to pick you up. To lift you up. In John, in the 17th chapter, verse 21 and 22, or through 23, it says here, I'll start with the 20th verse. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That would be it, anyone who would read the Word of God. That they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And the only way we can be one is to have that comforter, that beautiful gift, abiding in us. Without it, we cannot be one with God. One of the things that comes with that promise with the Holy Ghost in the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 14. Here he says, "Verily, verily," this is Christ, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So our sister that came forward this evening to be administered to, what were we doing? Were we not asking God in our belief in Christ that he would minister to her, that he might hear our prayers, our combined prayers, because it says the prayers of the faithful will heal the sick by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost that is resident within each one of us, within the body of Christ. And so our expectation and faith is that if we are one with God, he will hear our prayers. And he will be glorified. He will be glorified. I'll give to you an example in the 9th chapter of John. Verses 1 through 4. "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And what has he called his believers? What has he asked us to be? The light of the world. Right? Isn't that what he's asked us? To be the light of the world? Opportunities. Opportunities. These things that come before us are opportunities to exercise our faith, to glorify our God, to work the works that Christ asked us to work as individuals here on earth, to be a light in this world for good. In John, in the 16th chapter, in the 14th verse, verses 14 and 15, says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto thee. Speaking of the Spirit, as I read earlier in the 13th verse, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. It's important to understand that those things that the Spirit will do as it manifests itself according to our faith in this world is for one purpose and one purpose only: to glorify God. To be a light in the world that he has a people, that he cares for, that he loves, and that he will pour out blessings upon them. In these, in the book of Isaiah, in the 51st chapter, there's some words that are written that is for us today. I'm going to use those as my last verses of scripture, but I want to just read Article 3 of the Articles of Faith and Practice first. We believe in the Holy Ghost. All of those of us who have been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands, these articles are articles that we say we believe. The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, which searches the deep things of God, brings to our minds things which are past, reveals things to come, and is the medium by which we receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, or that understanding of Jesus Christ and his teachings. And if we can understand Jesus Christ, we can understand the Father, because they are one, with one voice. So in Isaiah, in the 51st chapter, it's speaking to the faithful. It's a call to courage. First verse, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father. The scriptures plainly, when we espouse Jesus Christ, we become adopted heirs into the promise of Abraham. Remember that. So this applies to you. It's not somebody living in Israel. Those of you that have been baptized become part of the gospel. He is your father as well. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from thee, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth through his Son, even Jesus Christ. And mine arm shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth and beneath, and for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, and that comes by the way of the Spirit of God. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, persecutions. Challenging your faith. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake! Put on your strength. O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? That was when they stood up against Egypt, a mighty nation, Israel. And through the power of God, they prevailed. And it is for us today. Our enemies are all about us. And they're growing by the minute. The false prophet is doing his work in the last days, deceiving many people. The work of the Church of Christ is great. We haven't finished that work that God has given us to do in these last days. But he needs a people. He needs a people that are going to be exercised in him. That are going to be one with him to do that work. He's calling us out of the world. His Spirit is there to help us. May God bless us. May God help you to understand the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may it work in your life 24/7. May God bless you.